ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by Hagen Oaks, America's most awarded golf facility, and Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Welcome into another edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour here at Sacktown Sports 1140. I am Frank LaRosa. My partner in crime, Scott Marsh, is standing next to me on the tee, and here we go with another show, Scott.
Looking forward to it, Frank.
You know, on next week's show, I just want to do a little preview. I'm going to be emceeing the banquet for the United States Blind Golfers Association National Tournament here in Sacramento at Hagen Oaks this week, and it may even be the first time that's been held on the West Coast. But I'm hoping that I come back with some interesting stories. We tend to complain about our golf game. Well, you know, think about what it would be like to play the game without being able to see it all. I mean, that really puts some limitations on it.
No question. We're so lucky to have a couple gentlemen on from the association, and just how special that is. I can't wait to hear what your experience is emceeing that event.
We were just talking a moment ago about a celebration of life that you went to, and apparently the gentleman was deeply involved in golf, and it was a big part of his life. And tell me what you were saying about your observations of the game.
Well, I just think it goes to the core of what this show is about and what you're all about, Frank. I was at a memorial service during the week, and the gentleman was 81 years old. And you know, a lot of his friends who he had known for 40, 50 years plus came up and spoke. And you know, one common theme amongst others, with obviously their kids and all the really important things in life, was just about the experiences and times they shared together. And you know, a lot of that was out on the golf course. And it's just a good reminder, because you know, you always make the great point, it's not really the scores that matter, it's about the friendships that you have out there on the course. And when you go to a memorial service, it really comes home, like just how much golf can build just long lasting friendships that are meaningful in somebody's life. And you talk about complaining. For me personally, I'm so motivated by score and hitting my driver 250 yards and all of those things. But when you really put it in perspective, of course, the bigger parts of the friends and all the great times you have together is ultimately all that matters.
Yeah, I think that the we forget the fact that it's a game. And, yeah. You know, and 6 months after the round where you hit the 250 yard drive, that's not what you're going to remember. You're going to remember, you know, the laughs you had, you know, the time you spent, you know, maybe, you know, something someone told you that inspired you to do something else. We never really know, you know, how we affect each other. And you know, the fact about being on a golf course, we tend to relax, you know, we tend to enjoy each other's company for what it is. And it's a great way to spend 4 hours in my mind.
It's really like having a good long meal with somebody or close friends or a family setting. And that's what ultimately makes the game really special. There's no other sport that really allows you to do that.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Sunday. You invited me to play with a friend of yours, a member at Granite Bay. I've not been out there since they've redone the course. And Gary Player had great things to say about Granite Bay. He was really impressed with it. So I'm going to go out and find out what Mr. Player was talking about.
Yeah, we're going to have a great time out there.
You know, it. And again, whether it's Granite Bay or, you know, the smallest little muni that you can find, it's about being with each other and enjoying the game. So
And we've got one of those great muni courses on our show today.
That's right. Davis Golf Course. You know, we'll discuss those same kinds of elements as well. Also on the show today, Tom Morton, Director of Instruction, talk a little bit about ways to kind of think about the game. And certainly we why am I blanking on our other guest? Lee McCormick. I'm sorry, Lee. There's a guy we don't want to forget. Lee McCormick is
the Northern California, too important.
Northern California rep for Ping Golf. And both you and I play Ping, and we're, you know, very pleased to be doing it, and very happy with the product as well. But Lee's going to talk about the new putter line. There's, I don't know what he said, 12, 14 putters or something. So I'll be interested to see what they have to offer this year.
Well, Lee just has such great information. He is so detailed about what's going on in the equipment world. I can't wait to get caught up.
Yeah, that's the guy that knew Carsten Solheim and has been with Ping for many, many years. So we have all that and more coming up on this edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour. We will be back with Lee McCormick right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
Golf to Go Radio Hour continues here on Sacktown Sports 1140. The show welcomes a good friend, Lee McCormick. Lee is the NorCal rep for Ping Golf. And Lee, welcome to the show, and thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You know, you've been at Ping for a couple of years. You passed your probation a long time ago. How many years at Ping now, Lee?
With 38 years. I started there in 1984, right out of college.
So you were there. I mean, I guess it's been a bit longer since Carsten Solheim was tinkering around in his garage. But give us kind of the brief history of how Ping Golf came to be.
Well, our founder, Carsten Solheim, who passed away in the year 2000, he's really known as the Thomas Edison of golf. He invented some of the concepts that are just, I mean, the greatest innovations in golf equipment. For example, perimeter weighted irons, heel toe weighted putters, and then custom fitted golf clubs. And he was an engineer. He actually started in Redwood City. He was working for General Electric, and he took up golf in his 40s, and he didn't like the way his putter performed. It would twist when he mishit it. So he, you know, invented a putter that had weight on the heel and toe, and it just, by coincidence, when you struck a ball with it, it made a ping sound like a tuning fork. So that's how the name came to be. And he really revolutionized the whole industry. It came out with these clubs that had a cavity, that were perimeter weighted, that were really funny looking at the time. He was heavily criticized, but if you look at today's clubs, it's virtually about, you know, 90% perimeter weighted clubs that are out there.
Yeah, it's interesting, those early versions of not only the ping clubs, but golf clubs in general, they're pretty primitive compared to what we look at today. But it didn't take long for that putter to be accepted on tour. There was a lot of people playing them pretty much when they were available.
Well, the big breakthrough was when George Archer won the 1967 Masters with the Ping Answer putter. That was the big breakthrough. And, you know, people that play golf, if the Answer putter is the design that Tiger Woods uses today, and it's still the most popular design putter. It has sort of that plumber's neck where the hosel comes up and over and up. It's heel toe weighted. You know, that putter was invented in 1966 and still has stood the test of time. It's the number one putter design still today.
It's the most copied putter as well. Isn't that true?
Oh, for sure. So yeah. I think it's, you get 17 years on a patent, and once that's over, it's sort of free reign. So just about every manufacturer has their version of the Ping Answer.
Yeah. You know, had the good fortune to be down at Ping once, thanks to you, and had a chance to walk into the putter vault and see the gold version of George Archer's putter that he won that Masters that you talked about, and so many others. How many putters are in that vault, Lee?
Well, over 3,000. So what we have at our headquarters is just to sort of explain it, we have a vault. It's like a bank vault. And inside there, like I said, there's over 3,000 gold plated putters. And our founder, Carsten Solheim, started this tradition early on. If a professional wins a professional tour event anywhere in the world with a Ping putter, whatever model that they use, we actually engrave two of them. We engrave the name of the player on the face, the name of the tournament, and the date, and then we gold plate both of those putters. We give one to the player, and then we put one in our vault at the headquarters there in Phoenix. And like I said, there's over 3,000 of them. And if anyone wants to head down to Phoenix, they, you know, we give tours of our facility, and you can see that gold plated putter vault. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, and you put on the white gloves and kind of protect the putters to last forever. It's really exciting. Which brings us actually to the point we want to talk about today, the 2023 family of putters. Ping continues to come out with putters that improve year after year. So tell us a little bit about the 2023 family and what we can expect there, Lee.
Well, this is our latest family of putters. There are 10 models. They're all black and silver in color. And there's some various differences. There's some mallets, there's some mid mallets, there's some blades, there's some putters that are center shaft. So there's really a putter for everybody. There's even one that has the ability to pick the ball up out of the cup without having to bend over or on the green. It's got a hole in it, and it actually will surround the golf ball. You can just press down on it, and pick it up. You don't even have to bend over. But these putters all have a firmer feel. So the putter line that we previously introduced, which is called the 21 series or family of putters, we still keep those going. Those all have real soft feeling inserts. This new family has a firmer feel. Some of them do have some inserts, but it's a firmer insert. So we like to have a family of putters that have a nice soft feel for that player that likes a real soft feel at impact. And then we also like to have a family of putters that have a little bit firmer feel, where you get a little bit more feedback and a firmer feel out of the family of putters. So they're really good looking. They're all black and silver. If you're a Raiders fan, you'll love them. some of them have black graphite shafts, and we just launched these in September. So the pro shops, are just getting them in stock. We're just getting going with it.
You mentioned the mallets as well, and there are some interesting shapes, and there have been over the years. I think of the Crazy, and how strange that was when it came out. It became a very popular putter, but these are not just somebody sits down and draws a shape and thinks that'd be great. I mean, there's an incredible amount of research and development that goes into making these putters.
Oh, for sure, and mallet putters have become very popular, and one reason is they have a higher moment of inertia. People have probably heard that term, MOI, moment of inertia. Basically, what that is, that's a measurement of the golf club's stability when it's mishit. So with a mallet, it allows us to place more weight away from the center of gravity, out to the perimeter, out to the edge. So in theory, mallet putters, when you mishit them on the toe or on the heel, there's going to be less twisting than with a blade putter. And plus it allows for a long sight line also. So really a lot of people prefer mallet heads because it allows them to line up better. Alignment's a little different. You get longer lines.
We're talking with Lee McCormick. He's the NorCal rep for Ping Golf and a good friend of the show. Scott, I know you play a Ping putter as well. What is it about Ping that enhances your game?
Well, I don't know if it's enhancing my game. It's certainly helped a little bit. You see my game, it needs a lot of help, Frank. But I will say I was using an old Nike putter that I had from a set, for 20 years. And it was the one club I had hung on to. But I went out and Lee, you were kind enough to fit me one night out there at Hagen Oaks. And you realized that I needed a little different loft on my putter. And you set me up with an answer putter, the 4 style series, which, I'm using now and I love it. I just feel it's really consistent. It comes off and I just can feel distances so much better with it. So it's definitely helped my putting game.
And, putters like irons, should be and can be custom fitted. So Scott, your putter has a little bit flatter lie angle. So if you were to use a standard putter, when you set up comfortable at address, the toe was a little bit up in the air. So what we did is we flattened the angle that the shaft went in the putter. So the sole of the putter is more level at impact. And everybody's different. I mean, there's no right or wrong putting stance or style. It's really a lot of it is, what's comfortable. So it's important to get fitted for your putter. And, we custom build them. There's no extra charge for that. And it's important. Matter of fact, if your putter, if for example, the toe's off the ground or the heel's off the ground too much, the face of the putter is going to be lined up left or right. And you're not even going to be aware of that.
Yeah, I just figured it was because my eyesight's so bad, but you got that dialed in. And I think that's important too Frank, because, you know, most people, when they think about getting fitted, they just think about irons and drivers, right? You don't think about the putter, but again, the putter's the club you use the most, right, Lee? So you might as well get fit for that club, if nothing else.
Absolutely. That's, you know, that's where the scoring is. It's all really in the short game.
Yeah. Now, for somebody like myself who recently purchased the putter here, you know, with clubs, you usually turn them over every year or two based about how much you're playing. With a putter, what do you recommend? Because you've got new lines coming out all the time. What do you look at that for the average golfer in terms of just, you know, replacing a putter?
Well, putters, you can use them for many, many years. I mean, like Tiger Woods, for example, he switched back to the putter that he was winning the most with in the early 2000s. So they don't wear out. A lot of times people like a fresh look. You know, there's some of the guys out on tour, Mark Calcavecchia comes to mind. You know, he changed putters all the time. Threw a couple of them in the lake. Just, you know, it's nice to get a fresh look. You know, even myself, you know, every few years I like to get a new look, just kind of freshen it up. But like I said, they don't wear out and they're good forever. Yeah. But you know, we're always working on new designs. We're always trying to raise the MOI, come up with new looks. We've got putters now where we put some tungsten weight in the heel and toe to even increase the stability on miss hits. But they don't wear out, but it's fun to get a fresh look.
Yeah, if I were in the USGA, the one rule change I would make is I would allow you to carry around like 16 clubs, but three of them would be putters. That's how you're hitting it that day.
I really like the notion, Lee, that you talk about getting fitted, because you know, it's easy to walk in and find a putter on the rack, and what you end up doing is you end up changing your stance to what the putter is, as opposed to finding the putter to fit how it is you naturally stand at the ball. Correct?
Right, right, and that's why it's important to get fitted. A golf pro can do it in about 2 minutes, but you just, you know, you set up with your putter, you get where you're comfortable. And then the golf pro will examine the lie angle. He'll check to see if the sole's level or if the toe's off the ground or the heel's off the ground. We'll make an adjustment for that. And also the length of the shaft is adjustable too. And sometimes, you know, taller players like longer putters, or if you like to stand up straighter, a little easier on your back to maybe go with a little longer putter, but they're fully customizable and there's no extra cost for it. So I really encourage everybody to get fitted for their putter. It's sort of overlooked. You know, people are getting fitted for their irons and their woods, not always for their putter. But like I said, you know, you get fitted first, place the order, we'll get it to you quickly.
You know, there's a lot of chatter out now about the new 430 line that you'll be coming out with around the first of the year. And we'll be coming back probably in another show to talk about that. But that's really exciting, when you come out with a brand new line of clubs. But even beyond that, you've come out with an entirely new club called the Chipper, and you've had great success with that. And it's only been out just a very short time.
So the Chipper is new. We introduced it a couple months ago. Matter of fact, we exceeded our forecast, so we actually ran out of these clubs. We're going to get them back in a couple of weeks. But it's a unique chipping club. It's got a shallow face. It's got a very, very nice look. It's heel toe weighted. It's the big key is that the head is very, very heavy. It has what we call an E4 swing weight, which is much heavier than any other club. And the nice thing about it is somebody who struggles with chipping off, you know, off the edge of the green, a lot of people, you know, stick the club in the ground. Some people have chipping yips, like putting yips. This head is so heavy, you almost draw it back and just barely get it started, and it'll carry itself through the rough. If it catches the turf, it's got enough weight and momentum to carry through. So it really helps people that struggle with chipping off the edge of the green. And it's at the same loft as a 9-iron, and we can custom fit this too. We can, if you need it flatter, the lie angle, or more upright, shorter, longer, but it's wildly exceeded our expectations. Like I said, we sold through them way beyond our initial forecast. And there's been other chippers out through the years, and they've sort of been almost scoffed at, like, oh, you know, you can do the same thing with a regular club. But this, because it's so heavy, the head is so heavy, it's unique and it's very different from other chippers that are out there.
Yeah, I'm guessing if it comes in left-handed, I'm pretty sure Scott wants to put one in his bag.
Can I meet you up at Hagen Oaks in a half hour and we can get myself fitted for that?
Done. We'll get it done for you. You bet.
Excellent.
So, yeah. Lee, as a quick observation here, if you put a chipper in your bag, what club do you take out? Do you take out one of your wedges what's the choice there?
Well, that's kind of the tough thing about it. So, you're going to have to take out something. And I probably wouldn't recommend a wedge because you're going to need those too when you're a little further away from the edge of the green. This is really for around the fringe area or just off the green. You can't really make a full swing with this chipper.
Mm-hmm.
But so you might have to, you might have to get rid of one of the woods or one of the hybrids on the other end.
All right, Lee McCormick from Ping Golf. You it's an exciting company you work for. You've been there forever, and we wish you continued success. 2023 family of putters, the brand new chipper, and the 430 line coming out. And we'll have you back towards the end of the year to talk about that as well. Lee, we appreciate you spending some time with us, and you're always welcome here on the Golf to Go Radio Hour.
Oh, you bet. Thank you both for having me. Have a great day.
Thanks, Lee.
We will be back with more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
Thanks for being with us here on the Golf to Go Radio Hour on Sactown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa, along with Scott Marsh, welcoming in Mr. Tom Morton, Director of Instruction at the Hagen Oaks Golf Complex. Tom, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, you guys just finished up Golf and Guitars. That had to be a huge success, and and certainly helped the Morton Golf Foundation do what it does.
Yeah, it is. You know, every single year we host it, it's just, I'm reminded of what a great community event it is. The people playing in the tournament have such an amazing time. And like a lot of charity events, it certainly pace of play isn't something super speedy, but it really doesn't matter because people want to be out there as long as they can. And plus it's for a wonderful cause. And yeah, so it really went well, got lucky with the weather this time of year. So all in all, we were very excited for the results.
That's exciting. And on to next year, number 15.
That's right.
You know, Tom, I appreciate you being on. My feeling about this segment and having you on is there's so many of us weekend golfers, I guess, is the best way to describe recreational golfers, maybe. And I think we tend in many cases to have taught ourselves. You know, maybe a friend, gave us a few tips the first time we played. And there are people that can do that and certainly enjoy the game and be out there on the weekends and have a great time with their foursome. And I'm not suggesting that people shouldn't do that. I guess all I'm trying to do in this segment is let people know that if you want to get better, you know, that's probably not the best way to do it. And again, there's no real, necessity for you to have to get better. If you're comfortable in the game that you're playing and enjoy it, then keep doing it. But we get into this whole question of lessons and what lessons really mean. From your point of view, and I know you're a nationally recognized instructor, what's the best way to go about getting lessons? And more it has to do, I suppose, with what I as a player want out of the lessons.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I think that the player does need to come with what they're searching for, right? Is there a plan in place that they, can devote a day a week, 2 days a week? You know, do they plan on practicing or is it purely just they like to play only? Where are the areas of need in the game that they're seeing on the golf course? And there's a lot of different, minor stat tracking things that you can do just to get a feel for that. And you and your coach should get together and develop that plan of, what to start picking off. And I think it's, twofold is that, a lot of people choose not to take lessons because they're afraid of getting worse and don't want the pleasure of paying to do so. And so, that shouldn't be the case. You should not get worse. You should get better and get better right away. If you're willing to just put in, little time, to it. And like I said, develop that plan of attack and practice. And, there's ways to really get better, especially if you're that golfer that shoots in the, the hundreds and the 90s. There's massive room to get better. You know, I'm talking 10, 12 strokes shaving off really fast.
I like the way you describe it, getting together with your coach and deciding on a plan. You know, I suppose many of us have the notion that, you know, if I sign up for a series of six lessons, it starts here and it ends there because you've already established that. But that what you're saying is that's not the plan.
Yeah, and there needs to be that communication back and forth. You know, your coach shouldn't only be, and the student should only be talking with each other only at the lessons. There needs to be some communication in between because, you know, when you go play, what's happening on the golf course? That's key, right? And, you know, we can only see so much on the tee or around a green when we're putting, chipping, or working on your full swing. We need that feedback of what's going on the golf course. And also it should be that the coach should be, you know, obviously here and there, not every time, but here and there taking you out on the golf course, because so many strokes are lost just purely because of wrong club choice or wrong belief what to do, where you hit it in the trees and you choose the shot that 1 out of 100 you might be able to pull off rather than the one that 99 times out of 100 you can pull off that turns a bogey into a 7 or 8. So all those things really make a difference.
You have been basically the producer, I guess, for the player teacher forum for the Northern California PGA for, I don't know, it must be going on 20 years or so at this point. You've had some incredible nationally recognized teachers come in and, you know, and give a little seminar for the PGA professionals in our area. Of all the people that have come through, who most impressed you, and what is the one thing that you know, of all of them that has been most valuable to you in your teaching?
Well, first of all, I think the big standout message all these years has been there isn't one way to do it. And that's, for me, has been great, is to see all these different coaches and teachers, really all these different styles and ways to go about it. And I think you know, my style would be to look at each person as an individual and understand that everyone's their own person, and that yes, there's some things that the club itself has to do in order to hit the golf ball well, but you know, that person has different things they can and can't do, and how do we, you know, piece together the appropriate things to make it function for them is really the overriding message I've gotten over the years, which is great. But you know, if I had to drill down to a couple people of the years, I think we had Butch Harmon there before, and that was really spectacular. His brother Billy Harmon's been there. He was great. Jim Hardy is terrific. He really is good at piecing together, you know, if the club does X, then you need to add Y to it. And so it kind of, I think it's a great way to look at someone and piece together what they should be doing.
You know, teaching and fitting in many ways kind of go hand in hand. I think back to a comment Gary Player made, you know, when he said, you know, when we first started playing, they just handed us a club and said, you know, go play with it. And, you know, whether it had a draw bias or a fade bias, you had to learn how to make that club work for you. Well, most of us are not professional golfers, and picking a club and trying to make it work for us is probably the backwards way to do it, I would think.
Yeah, I always use the analogy, it's not the arrow, it's the archer, people say, right? Well, if I take the arrow and I bend the shaft of it, or I pull some of the feathers off the back or so on and so forth, you attempt to shoot it straight, it doesn't go very well. The equipment we use matters a lot. Now, it's a combination, like you said, just because you have great equipment that's been fitted doesn't mean you're going to turn around and be this amazing golfer. But to give yourself the best chance to play your best, 100%, it does matter.
Scott, I know you've gone through the fitting process. How'd you feel when you finished? Did your confidence level change, or when you got your new clubs?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a huge difference when you know you're swinging the club that is the right fit for you, and the right loft angles too, right? That makes such a huge difference in what's going on. And even with the putters, you know, we are talking with Lee McCormick, and just about having the right loft angle on your putter is so critical. Tom, I want to follow up with you just, you know, with Gary Player and the great event with First Tee. You know, one of the comments he made, and of course he's Gary Player, so that's the huge caveat, But he gave the sense to Frank in talking to him that he wasn't a huge proponent of coaching, especially at the highest levels. Like, for example, with Tiger Woods, which, again, is such the outlier. We all understand that. But in his opinion, if he hadn't ruined his swing by going to swing coaches and paraphrasing who couldn't score 85 at Augusta and hadn't listened to them early in his career, he might have won 25 majors in Gary's opinion. And I'm curious on your thoughts about that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd agree 100%. You know, Tiger is an outlier, and, you know, he's seen quite a few people and made, you know, different changes in his golf swing. But even through that time, he was still winning in a major clip. I think the injury thing is the reason why he didn't get to that huge number, yeah, rather than swing changes. I think that's more of a, you know, it's been pretty documented, the workouts and the stuff he used to do put a toll on his body that I think kept him from, you know, the all-time major championship number. But, you know, there's a reason all the best players in the world have coaches. You know, they can't always see or even for that matter feel what's going on. And I think everybody needs, you know, a set of eyes to be able to help, even if it's someone there that's just supporting what the player thinks they want to do and helps them along with it. And, you know, tell me a sport where most everyone doesn't have a good quality coach that's come through the line. So I think that's a necessary thing. There are outliers like the Bubba Watson of the world who say, oh, I never took a golf lesson. And, you know, that's great. But the majority do and have. Now, I think probably where Gary's coming from is today in the world of technology and TrackMan and all these things, I think, you know, maybe if I'm reading between the lines of what he's saying, people can get too technical, get too caught up in their golf swing rather than playing the game. Which I'd say that's probably fairly accurate.
Yeah. In terms of the instruction you do with your clients, how much is it technical to your point using the TrackMan and video and other components versus just the feel aspect with a person you coach?
I would say for me, if I'm using that stuff, it really is more so for me to sort of verify what my eyes are seeing and whatnot and what the ball is doing and, you know, getting a feel for what the core issues are that we want to work on in the golf swing. And then, you know, I think whether it's video or some data, what's going on with the swing is good for the student is, you know, what we feel isn't always real. And so I think that allows them to go, oh, wow, I really thought I was doing this when we checked the video or checked the stats. It's not happening yet. And they can actually feel more and more and get, you know, people don't like to get out of their box very much. And so they sometimes have to really feel an extreme just to get it to where it should be. And I think that's where those things can really help the player understand that feeling the extremes is actually where it should be.
Yeah, but I know you work with a lot of people in the area. And of course, you work with a lot of people at Sactown Sports 1140, including Carmichael Dave, who came back to me within the last week bragging about the last session he had with you, thrilled that he was telling me he was hitting his driver now 270. You put him in a new Cobra driver. That was absolutely amazing. Can you confirm that for us, Tom?
So I can confirm because on the top tracer on the driving range, we have data there. And so there was a couple balls he got out there to that number, and his ball speed really was the thing that was exciting. He actually got a few over the 160 mile an hour ball speed mark, which is going to equate to that distance if he catches it, you know, with a square face. So it was pretty very exciting. I was probably the most excited I've been since we've worked together. So he's on the right track.
All I can plead with you, Tom, is don't make him too good. So when I go out with him, I can't beat him anymore.
I think we have a conflict of interest here. So, Tom, obviously, not everybody's going to take lessons and everybody's going to just, you know, take their own course of action. What recommendations or what advice would you have for a player that, you know, has taught themselves or, you know, maybe their uncle showed them their first swing and they go out every weekend and they enjoy the game? Talk about expectations and how they can better enjoy their afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, first and foremost, it's about if you're purely going out there for the social reasons, which is a great reason to play golf, don't really worry about it, right? You're going to hit everyone's going to hit some good shots and just revel in those moments and enjoy it. And, you know, if someone does want to get better, but is thinking, coaching isn't the way to do it, then, you know, regardless whether you are having a coach or not, I go back to take a look at what's going on within your game, right? Are you missing a lot of putts from certain distances? Are you not hitting fairways? Are your approach shots from certain yardages missing the greens or way off, or, you know, whatever it might be, take a look, drill down into your game and those areas, work on it. You know, I think spending time working on those little areas are going to make a big difference.
There you have it. Tom Martin, Director of Instruction at Hagen Oaks. I always learn something when you're on the show, Tom. I appreciate your time, and keep doing what you're doing, because you're making, as Scott just alluded to, golfers out of people that are ought to be on the radio. I don't know how that works.
Don't make them too good, Tom, please.
We are listening to the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sacktown Sports 1140, and we'll be back with more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. I'm Frank LaRosa, Scott Marsh beside me, and we are welcoming in Mr. Mark Hansen, General Manager, PGA General Manager at Davis Golf Course. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. You know, there are so many courses around Northern California. I mean, it's pretty hard to get to all of them, but we're sure trying, and I'm glad you were available. I have to admit, before we start, Davis Golf Course is a course I've known about for years, but I've never had a chance to play, so I'm kind of looking forward to learning a little bit more about it. First of all, tell us how you got into the golf world, and you know, how you got to where you are today.
I'm probably like a lot of golf pros. I just started as a range kid and then just kind of worked my way up. And now, so worked from assistant professional to head professional to now part owner and help running the golf course.
So that's kind of the dream of everybody in the world of golf. Someday I'm going to own a golf course. Is that like owning a boat?
Yes. Yeah, very much so. You're just trying to keep it from sinking. Yes. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the history of Davis Golf Course. When was it built? And was the city involved in the beginning? How did that all come about?
Yeah. So the golf course was built in the 60s, and the city had run the golf course for quite a number of years until the late 70s. And then Kurt Hammond and Jerry Lilienthal took it over and leased it from the city. And that's what we've continued to do for the last almost 45 years. And the city of Davis has been great with us. We have a great relationship with them, and we've done a lot of things at the golf course over a number of years with the help of the city.
You know, as I was looking online, I noticed that it's not a very long golf course, but apparently it's the kind of golf course that keeps your attention on every tee.
Yes, it does. It's not, you know, we're a unique golf course. I think that in a lot of places we're just under 5,000 yards, even from the blue tees. And so there are not a lot of golf courses that are like that. So our golf course is unique in that sense.
So a lot of water, a lot of narrow.
A lot of water, a lot of trees. Yeah. We did we've had a few pictures taken of the golf course, and I'm always surprised that, yeah, there are a lot of trees. And now probably over the years, I've probably seen every one of them.
So I'm going to come out. I'm going to stand on the first tee. What can I expect for my 18 holes at Davis Golf Club?
If you keep it in the fairway and don't hit it over the green, you're going to be fine.
That sounds really simple, Mark, but I'm not sure it suits. I don't know. Scott, does that suit your game?
Well, I can tell you this. I've played Davis Muni, as I've always referred to it as, many times, certainly as a student at UC Davis with my college buddies. So, you know, I'm not proud to say, but I've seen a couple of people actually go into the water retrieving balls from time to time out there during my college days. But it's a great course. It's a ton of fun. And to you said it, it's not a huge slope. It's not huge with distance, but it's great. It's a great course out there. And I know, you know, a lot of talk gets done with Wild Horse. And of course there's El Macero out there, but you know, Davis is a key part of that community out there, Mark.
Yeah. And it's nice to have that option, right? You have good golf, you know, longer golf courses like Wild Horse or El Mercero, but we're in a nice niche in that respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get out there and play in 3 hours too.
Yeah, which is great. Yeah, you can really run around the golf course pretty well, especially now that we have 10-minute tee times. You can really fly around the golf course.
Yep.
The pandemic has certainly been good for golf, and it continues to be good at Davis as well, huh?
Yes, yeah. We've continued to see big numbers and continue to, even now, still have lots of play. We're full pretty much every day.
You know, at 5,000 yards and what looks to be a relatively flat course, do you get a lot of walkers?
Yeah, we do. We probably get half of our play is walking.
As I was on 113, I think that's the road I looked over. How am I going to get to Davis Golf Course?
Off of 113, you just take County Road 29. And then it's right off the freeway. It's not very far. And then just down Fairway Drive.
Yeah. Like a longer course, I'm guessing that you have lessons there. Do you have a driving range?
Tell us, we do have a driving range. And there are three of us that teach here. Myself, Gary LaPelt, and Chris Mappallo. And we're all PGA professionals.
Yeah. Mark, I'm curious, is it still a lot of college play out there?
Some, we're actually seeing more, you know, there for a while. I think college students don't have a lot of disposable income.
But that's what's so great about your course. It's so affordable, right?
Yeah. And so, like, we have the Aggie Golf Club that comes out on Friday and hit balls. And so we're starting to see a lot more college player and younger players coming, which is great.
Yeah. And it's great for introductory players too. Cause back in college, I rarely played golf. I would just go out because some of my buddies played golf and I barely had a set of clubs that made sense, but we always had a lot of fun out there. And I got to think, just for people who are first time starters, it's a great place to come out and learn the game.
I agree. Yes. Yes. Very much so.
So you're kind of confusing me now, Mark. Scott's saying it's a great place to learn, and you're telling me if I don't keep it in the fairway, I'm in trouble all day.
You don't have to hit it very far. Just keep it in the fairway. So if you're learning and you can hit it pretty straight, you're going to be okay.
All right. I like that. Do you do events?
We have a couple of NCGA events that we do a couple times a year, and we do quite a few tournaments a year. Our local club is very busy. Our golf club, they do a great job, and our ladies club and senior club. And so they're all very busy. So lots of tournaments.
Yeah. If somebody asked you, what's the most exciting part about your golf course, what would you tell them?
The most exciting part is probably hole number 7, because it's sort of an island green. The tee's elevated. It's not very long. It's 120 yards, but it's three surrounded by water on three sides. And so that's the one that everybody talks about when they come to Davis.
Yeah, we used to call that the TPC hole out there at the time, the island hole. And then, you know, 18's not an easy finish either. When I remember playing out there, I remember that being one of the most challenging holes.
Yeah, I would agree. Just because it's pretty tight on both sides, and it's a pretty long par 4 for us.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing you're pulling a lot of balls out of that lake around 7, huh?
Yeah, the diver does pretty well. He does very, very well.
He just has to get there before some of my former college buddies get there, because they were pretty busy doing that back
then. Yeah, I can imagine.
Have a restaurant?
We do. We have a snack bar, and and it's pretty busy most of the time, just lots of play. And we do, because we do some events too, they'll barbecue and do all kinds of different stuff.
Well, and Mark, I also have to say, because I know that course gets a lot of play, you guys do a great job with the maintenance on that course. It's always in really good condition.
Yeah, our maintenance guys are great and have been here for a long time, but they do a fantastic job. And the rain that we got in September is spectacular. It really helped the golf course. We never get rain like that in September. And now we have some pretty good rough that we don't normally have this time of year.
People don't want to hear that, Mark.
No, I know. So
tell me about your lesson program, Mark.
We do, in the summer, we do kids clinics, but mostly it's just a lot of private. We do some group lessons, but a lot of private lessons. We do a lot of kids, and I do a lot of beginner lessons. and work with a lot of people just coming into the game. So I've taught at UC Davis. They've done summer classes and junior colleges and help with the high school. So it's a lot about junior golf out here.
You know, we kind of alluded to owning a golf course is kind of like owning a boat, keeping it afloat. What's the most surprising thing that you've learned in being a golf course operator?
Patience. Which is good for my golf game too, but patience, yeah.
And what's the most rewarding part?
It still goes back. A lot of it for me is just to see new players come out and play and enjoy the game as much as I do. I just think it's so much fun that they can get excited about golf and make it fun. I think sometimes golf has sort of a stigma that it can be, you got to play by the rules and do those kinds of things. But I think the idea is just to have fun. And so.
So I'm, you know, you mentioned a lease. How long are you going to be? Certainly, I'm guessing you hope to renew the lease. But what do you see 10 years down the road for Davis Golf Course?
Hopefully, we just continue to see, the kind of play that we've been continuing to get, and I hope that our work with the city and working together in the city and helping us has provided us a chance to be an important part of the community, that we kind of fill a niche for a lot of golfers that, you know, maybe a longer golf course or private club might not be able to offer. So I think just being an important part of the Davis community is what we hope to continue.
You know, I think the notion of it being a neighborhood golf course almost, is really important. All of the new players that we got through the pandemic, because it was a socially distanced way to be outside and enjoy yourself. You know, at some point, like all sports, you know, we will probably see a bit of a drop off. And I've always felt that continuing, you know, to deliver the kind of service and appreciation for what you have with them being there is really important, kind of keeping them on track for staying golfers as long as we can have that happen.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think if we can keep it fun and keep players coming into the game, especially young players, doing what we can to get young players to play, kind of like Gary Player was talking about last week, where he's talking about, I agree with him in a lot of ways, that it's the younger players getting them exposed and playing golf as much as they can, I think. And it doesn't have to be that they're going to be professionals or whatever, but it's a game of a lifetime. You can play it. We have players out here into their 90s and they walk 18 holes. And so I think that's fantastic. Yeah.
I was going to ask you a question and you may have already answered it, but I'll try again to see if you have a different point of view. What is, you know, if you're describing the game of golf to somebody that has never played, you know, what do you start off with? What is it that you would say to help intrigue them into getting involved in the game?
Well, first I tell them it's hard because it's a hard game, especially when you're learning. But over the years, I've taught so many different people and worked with so many different people that I would tell them that it's just like anything else. If you just stick with it, enjoy it, and it's okay to be human. It's okay to make some bad shots. It's okay to not be perfect, that you'll enjoy it. And it's a game that you can play for a long, long time. And I think that's pretty amazing because there are not too many other sports that you can do that.
I think that's really good advice. And I think that, most of the time, we can actually go along with that we are going to hit some bad shots, but boy, those 10 steps after that bad shot, that's hard to get out of your mind.
Yes, it is. I'm still learning that.
Mark Hansen is the PGA General Manager at Davis Golf Course off Highway 13, County Road 29.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. I've got it figured out. I'm going to come out and see you one of these days. I know good. Scott's already been there, so Scott can show me the way.
We need to have a reunion gathering out there.
I like it. That'd be great. I'll look forward to that.
Thanks much for your time, Mark. Continued success and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you very much. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour, and we do this every week. We'll be back next week, same time, same station. Join us.